Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Celtic Now and for our podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. We're back, had a few days off to digest the season. Obviously, there's been a lot to talk about. Robert, joining me again is Robert Boyle. Robert, back again, mate, for the new season coming up. The last few days and weeks been gone. A lot to speak about now.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy, Ryan. You don't think Celtic can make any more arse of things, but somehow they managed to do it. We'll obviously go a bit more in depth into it, but crazy, crazy few days, to be honest.
It's a bit of a whirlwind, I think, for fans. Obviously, may as well get it away, you know. How's away? How's it all coming? How's coming? It's fucking... It's been a bit of a whirlwind, as we've said. Obviously, we kind of had wee inklings that we were getting a spectacle about it as he's coming, and you're kind of like, I relax, everything's fine, the board are telling you he's coming, and this and that, and then it wasn't a surprise, was it, Robert? In a way, it wasn't really, because you were like, he's dragging on too much. When's this getting announced? And it, mate, it's just been an absolute shit show for the fucking... For last season and this start, they've not started the season yet, and it's been a shit show.
What I find very weird, Ryan, is that this has been going for 3 months, and they're saying it was to do with backroom staff and what to come. Surely, in that 3 months, that should have all been tied up and just a matter of announcing it when the time was right. It's very, very baffling, mate. I don't know if you're hearing rumours that he was getting a director of football put on him. You're hearing rumours that his transfer budget wasn't what he wanted. I spoke to somebody, I can't remember exactly who, but somebody spoke to me and said that Eddie Howe's got a disabled child, and he was in obviously the young boy's in a school in Bournemouth Pool where they live, and that was going to be a big stumbling block to move that young boy from there up to Glasgow into a new school and surrounding. Obviously, they don't want to upset the young boy, but I heard that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But it's just all very Celtic, and how to disastrously fuck deals up. Like, you can go back to the John McGinn scenario, the Ben Davis scenario, obviously the screwed Brendan Rodgers, there'll be transfers. Then you look at the Ivan Toney scenario, and now you're looking at Eddie Howe and you're thinking, how can you get four or five things wrong so many times? And it's all the press, and it's just making us look pure amateurish. It's like Dunfermline going for managers or something, and then 3 months down the line, you didn't get them. Shouldn't it be happening at a club with Celtic, should it?
No, mate. I know we all get frustrated. You can maybe understand a few weeks. See how it's baffling for me, as you say, it took 3 months. And to be fair, I heard rumours that we're talking to him in January, December. He was the guy that pointed out. So, again, you don't know if Lowell's still involved and he's said something. Is Desmond the one interested in the mayor? We don't know, as fans. I know you don't really need to be told everything. But we all know this season we're talking nothing anyway. So, it's nothing new, says. But IRA deals, as you say, didn't get them in line with a full January window. To get Davis, Danny Hatton, we needed wingers, Danny Hatton, need a manager, and we'll get a head scout. There's guys who are getting out of contract next year, guys out of contract this year. It's just, you're into I know we say last season was the biggest season, but for me, this season's bigger. Because as we know, the big pot of gold at the end of the season, you win the Champions League, it could be between 25, 50 million, depending on whatever else. And it's not a good start, is it, to the season since you started yet?
No, it's shambolic, Ryan, you think? The season's done, you're thinking it's a bit of light now, we get a manager in, we get things start to roll, but Celtic just somehow managed to make a arsey things, and it's just, well, what, 2 weeks away from the start of pre-season? 3 weeks? We don't have a scout, a director of football, or a manager, or a coaching staff, or a sports science, or whatever it may be that we need at Celtic, and we don't even, how can you scout players and look at players? You can't. It just baffles me. I would think this is something like a junior team, like something that would be all rushed in, like a junior team would do, and maybe a wee bit of turmoil like a junior team. You're not expecting it for a club like Celtic to be then. And we've certainly took the baton and the banter years. We've just took the and just fucking ran with it, haven't we? The banter years. I don't get what's happened to us. Where it's all went for downhill, and you think that's just a one season, it's COVID, it's a blip. But we're now getting into June then, and it's still no result for Lennon left. It tells me that the plan A was just plan A and there was never B, C or D. And that's where it's left us in the mess we're in.
Because I generally think, obviously we've heard rumours and stuff about what was going to happen, but again, I don't know if you have heard it as well from people, you know, Robert, but supposedly Neil Lennon was going to leave anyway, no matter what, if he won the 10 or he didn't win the 10. But suppose if he won the 10, Kennedy was getting it. That's what I've heard. Kennedy was getting the job after Lennon leaves because he's won the 10. And basically whatever happens after that, for 2 or 3 years, the fans would be like, oh, we've won the 10, it's all right, we'll give him the job. Again, I don't know if that's just rumours I've heard through people. I don't know if that is clarification, I don't know. And then, so were they maybe thinking, right, Lennon wins the league, Kendall take it, no need to have anybody else, no need to have a plan, as you say, no plan B, no plan C, whatever else. And now Eddie Howe's no happening, and then now the papers are saying this guy from Japan has already been thought about. We'll see if that's the case here after a month of Eddie Howe says, oh, I don't know. As you say, a top class club would go, right, fuck off, do I be here? Go away, we'll get somebody else. That's the way all these teams work. And for some reason, like you said about the transfers, it's no anything new because we've been saying for years, even when Rodgers was here, we're sleeping at the wheel. We're doing this, we're doing that. The fans have banners. Even when we were successful, the fans are not happy with the board. So it's no like it's something new. And all the pundits and the newspapers, what's happened to Celtic, what's happened, well, as we'll just say, is the fans have been talking about for years. It's not a surprise to us that this is happening because the board has just been, the negligence of the board is ridiculous. And it all, for me, it all started, I know they signed, I know Dyla came in, but for me, that was when the negligence started. When they brought Dyla in, they didn't spend big money to go 5, 6, 7, 8 years ahead of the Rangers. They just went, mate, we'll win the league, we'll try and get in Europe. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if we play with Ralston and Beaton and fucking Welsh and Greg Taylor are your four for these qualifiers. It wouldn't surprise me. That's the way it's going to turn out because, as you say, on the scout, the manager, who's coming in, who's going out. We're talking about Ayer, maybe going to Newcastle for fucking £6 million. Again, I don't know. I've just on Twitter. I don't know if it's true, right? But see if that is true. That's just Pete Celtic again. I know. He might not be brilliant, but in this day of market, he's worth me £6 million. But yeah, it's just peak Celtic. We don't sell. I know you don't want to sell your best players, but maybe as fans, you take. See if we're selling, say it was Edward for £40 million, right? At his peak, I might go, right. But on hindsight, thinking you should do it because we might only get £12 million from him. But again, as fans, we don't think about everything. But maybe now you might think, maybe when they are doing well, sell them. I don't know.
When the iron strikes hot, then you should sell your players. That's the be all and end all. But obviously, with COVID happening, it's not going to be like your top money that you're expecting for these players. And maybe these teams like Newcastle that will try cheekily bids, and it's up to Celtic whether they accept it, or maybe Ayrton might turn and say, look, I want to go, and I'll run my contact in, or you can accept the first bid. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. That's the thing. Nobody knows. So people might go, oh, Celtic are just accepting, say, for instance, 6 million. It may be 6 million. Celtic might think, well, if we don't accept that, he's going to leave us 6 months later in a pre-contact for nothing. Mm. So these are the things that you need to be very careful with as a club. But looking at managers, at least just went bananas with managers. That's just crazy out there. Conte leaves and Zaghi goes to Inter. That Enzo Macara guy that Celtic were after is at Parma. Gattuso left Napoli and went to Fiorentina. These clubs are only hanging about. They're just getting their managers out and managers in. And we are still 3 months down the line and no success. Obviously, Thingme left and all Pirlo left. Mm-hmm. Juventus. Allegri went back there. So these are big clubs that are acting for their sale. Manager doesn't want to be there. Okay, away you go. Mm-hmm. Another manager right in place. And look at Chelsea going win the Champions League. Lampard wasn't doing it. You're out. Tuchel in. I'm not saying you've got to get a manager of Tuchel, but it's how big clubs act. If it's not going right, get rid of the manager, get somebody else in, and try and build momentum. And look what happened with Chelsea. They get into the top four and they win the Champions League. So change is good. And it's just unfortunate Celtic never changed it a lot sooner. Or they might have had a chance of the league last year.
And it's just because of this, obviously, the qualifiers, it's an absolute mess. And
right away, Ryan.
I know the potential opponents were out today. And, the opponents were out today, another day. And it's just an absolute shambles when it comes to the fixtures. Yep. Is that me?
Did you see who we can get?
Is it Galatasaray in that, isn't it?
Galatasaray, Michelin, or Rapid Vienna, I think, the first one. And then if you get through that, you get Benfica or Sparta Prague. And you're thinking, do you think we'll get through the first round? But maybe Europe might be a thing that we could just sidestep this year and try and concentrate on the league. It's not something I want us to do, but if that then got us to go and win the league for the Champions League next year, then I would by all means sidestep Europe this season, especially with a new manager and probably Wales trying to come in. But we need it financially, don't we? That's the only problem.
Well, that's how obviously we're talking about this guy, Angie, whatever. I'm not going to say his name, I can't say it. For Japan, Australia, the Australian guy. Cinema, who comes in this season? Because of obviously the financial gain, they're winning the league. They're never going to get time. This season, if you lose the league, I don't know what's going to happen if we get sacked or no, but we all know if we don't win the league this year, it could be a long 4 or 5 years because Rangers, in my opinion, if they had the money that we had, I generally think their board would have spent money. And our board were too busy, want to keep the balance books fine and we'll get the season books, we'll get the training gear. It's just, I don't know where you, I generally don't know where to go for here. You've got fans phoning on radio shows, Robert, talking about fucking Jack Ross and fucking Billy Davis. I'm like, come on, listen. I know these guys who phone in are maybe handpicked to try and get ratings and whatever, right? But see if you're any Divine Celtic fan who's got a decent brain on themselves, when they were near Jack Ross, it does not come into your equation. It does come into my equation. The guy who took care of Sunderland had the highest budget and failed. So he's done okay with Hibs, but again, he's lost in cup finals. You don't want a bottle at your team, you want a winning mentality. For me, I really don't know who we can. The only big name I've seen was the guy for the ex-Dortmund guy, Favre. He's the only guy I went, aye, Brown, he would do. I don't really know. If this guy came in, I would give the guy a chance. I know it doesn't look good for the onset, but whoever's come in, we've got to give him a chance and just hope whatever happens that it comes up trumps because it's not looking very good, is it, mate?
No, it's not, but I've read a lot about this guy, and I'm kind of a thinking that a lot of ex-players and stuff have spoken about him, saying that he's a good coach, that he knows his game. I've listened to interviews with him and how he talks about the game. To me, it sounds good. But everybody wants to write somebody off right away because he's not a big household name or we don't know him. I had a guy on Twitter the other day talking to me and he says, I mean, what the fuck would you want to sign a manager for Japan for? And I went, I don't know, maybe the guy might be good. And he went, I mean, who's come out of Japan? And I went, Arsene Wenger came out of Japan.
That's true, right?
Talk about Arsene Wenger, he says. And I went, I didn't say you did. I says, but you asked who came out of there. I says, sometimes unknown guys that we don't know about, like Lubo Mravchuk, can sometimes surprise us and we can go, wow, some of us are blinded by European football or British football, and that's all we know. Sometimes further afield, there is good coaches, good players, good managers. It's just maybe we just don't know about them, enough about them, and that's maybe it. But if he does come in, I'm wanting to give the guy a chance and, well, back him, as they say.
I think we want to, whoever it is, I might know, see if it is Jack Ross, and obviously I'll back the guy, but whoever it is, it comes in. If it is this guy for Japan, the fans will need to get behind them, whoever it comes in, because they will need a boost. They will need the fan support. And I was saying to you the other day, and it's just the way the fans think, that fans won't renew if it's not a bad name and stuff. But see, the more I think about it, the fans need to help the players in a way here. It's not the players' fault that the board's doing this. And we need to help the guy who's come in, if it means the season books, if it means buy into whatever this guy is, whoever it is comes in, we all need to buy into it. And if it means buying the season books, people might know what to do, because that's their opinions. They can't afford it, because if it's happening, they might know where to get the full value. They might think they want to watch us, fair enough. But if there's a season that we need to back the team, and I think back the manager, I think this could be the season to do it, because if we don't win the league this year, Robert, I don't know how long it's going to be before we get back in the top three, because if they do get between 30 and 50 million, they're going to get better assets coming in. They might sell bigger assets for more money, just like we used to do, sell a big assets, Tierney, Frimpong. Our big assets are kind of starting to go away now. They might get sold on. I know, as we always say, we always bring somebody else in, we always get a gem every now and again, but as we've said, you can't always count on a gem coming in. You need to get guys to come in now, none of these project stuff anymore. We've got some guys in, trying it like done, and just build again, because it is a massive, massive overhead.
It's massive. I mean, the manager needs to come in and look at the players. He doesn't know who's what. If this guy has come in, I don't think he's going to have been watching Celtic for the last 4 or 5 months and going, right, I like him, I like the look of him. He's going to need to assess the squad and go, well, I think we're lacking in maybe the wide areas. I think we're maybe lacking a target man. And you've got all these players coming back for loan deals. I know they've now got a chance to impress, whether that be they get a chance to impress or whether Celtic have got deals tied up for them to go elsewhere. I don't know. But it's just, the guy's going to need to be thinking 24/7. I don't think the guy's going to be able to sleep for the next 2-3 weeks if he comes in, because he's going to need to assess everything. It's going to be hectic, and I pray to God that will it be him. I hope Gavin Strachan and fucking John Kennedy's nowhere to be seen anywhere near him. Because, see, that's just forcing a guy. It's just turning in, we'll get rid of Neil Lennon and getting this guy in, and it's the exact same setup.
And it's keeping the guys who are fielders.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
And I just think we need a full refresh, and I think my opinion about the full refresh is a full refresh for the board downwards, because obviously this is part of the board as well. I understand that Eddie Howe's probably says I am going to come, but the board have obviously, again, not done their due diligence and just waited and waited and waited. Instead of giving a deadline and going, right, even 3 weeks, take your coaches and whatever, are you coming or no? Because as you say, these big clubs, Italian clubs, within even during the season, a guy gets sacked on the Monday, and the Wednesday, somebody else in. These guys, as you say, they've always got a backlist, they've always got a plan A, plan B.
Before they even make a decision.
Immediately.
Chelsea, they've had like 50 managers in the last 10 years or something.
We just have it in last minute or a time. And obviously, we're talking about loan players. Well, Laxalt, Kenny, And they're going to see, I think their loan deal ends the day of only about this time. Brown's contract is finished now. You've got Ralston, Ayer, Christy Henderson, Edward Griffiths. They've got about a year left. You've got, as you say, all these loan players coming back. Your Chev, your Biles, Henry's. Again, guys like Bio maybe going to come in and play a part this year? Are they going to get a chance? Because he's been doing okay recently. Fucking, is Chev going to come in and do well again under a new manager, attacking-minded manager? It's a lot of dead wood to be sold, and then we need to bring that back in again. You've got Boy Shaw coming in. Again, who signs you guys? I understand things do go behind the scenes and the club still got to run as normal, but how can you sign somebody like Rodgers says, was it Chev? I've never seen him play before. How can that happen at a club like Celtic? I just don't know how that can happen and how it's allowed to happen.
It's baffling, mate. It's just, that must be like through scouts or whatever that Peter Lawwell must deal with, and they must say, by the way, I've got a gem in my hands here that's this and that, and he, oh, well, we better sign him before somebody else signs him. That's the only thing I can think of, because other than that, it's just crazy. There must be some, I don't know, guy talking to Peter Lawwell behind the scenes and telling him some certain things like that. I don't really know. I don't know how it works at Celtic.
Well, I see it's not worked very well. As I've said about, I generally do believe that the model's going to be completely changed. Obviously, we don't know if the rumours are that it'll be fair go Harkin can then. Again, we don't know what the fuck's happening here, because that's
a big rising one, isn't it? Why is there no somebody in there to construct, like, get in some sort of order? It baffles me that there's nobody there behind. Even Dominic Mackay's been fucking quiet. I've not heard a word out of him.
To be fair, I kind of feel for him, Navi. I feel he's the scapegoat and he's just in the door. But again, the board have probably even gave him the right opportunity for a few months to actually deal with it. The probably just saying, like, that's you and Dom, deal with it. Again, we don't know everything, but I'm trying not to give, me personally, I'm trying not to give Mackay too much flack, because he's just in the job. But see if it's true about this guy from Japan. They know, is his team not part of this City group?
Aye.
Right, so see if that's Lawwell, the case. So is Lawwell no involved in that deal then?
Lawwell's.
Well, that's what strikes to us, that he's still involved. So Lawwell should be nowhere near this club anymore. He's been told to go, well, he's leaving, retiring. As soon as he was said, I'm off, he should be doing a fucking step back. He should bye-bye and let the other guys deal with it.
There's a thing there, Ryan, right? Do you think what happened with Peter Lawwell's house might have been what spooked Eddie Howe?
Do you know, I did say that to my old man today. Things like that. But
he's just took a back seat. Went,
But then that's maybe him questioning his character. Is he strong enough to be here as well? To deal with all that side of it?
That's a completely different thing for you.
I know.
Getting abuse in the street, innit?
Should.
Maybe he spoke, my family. No. My family could be in a house. Or just, I'm not saying that's what happens, but.
Oh, I definitely agree with you.
Because I just don't get how it could be 3 months down the line and then all of a sudden it just goes dead in the water like that.
It wouldn't surprise me if fucking Lawwell tried to fucking suggest something and it's pulled it again. Again, us as fans, we can only speculate. What's that, mate?
Then surely Dermot Desmond would need to step in and, you know what I mean?
I think he's my interest in golf at Gareth Bale, isn't he?
He is. He's just my interest in a comb for that big stinking tash he has. I don't know what he does, man. Obviously did stuff right, but I want him so far out of the club. It's
see the thing is with Des as well, but right, I was arguing with a guy the other day on Twitter or something or whatever. We don't know what happens to the finances in between transfers and whatever, right? But see if you actually look at the transfers we've sold, right? Has Desmond actually put his own money since O'Neill?
No.
Has he really? Because we've sold guys like Hooper, Tierney, Frimpong, Foster, yeah. Wanyama, big money, Tierney, Frimpong. So has he actually put a big wad of his money in? I don't think he is, because the season books, training gear, strips, they transfer deals, the money just a revolving door. Is he as young as I believe, see, obviously, it's going to be financially suiting, whatever, right? See, the guys we mentioned about Rodgers, how he'd been screwed with transfers, right? He wanted Castagna. I know they maybe wanted £12 million, I think said it by £8 million. See if Desmond was really interested in Celtic, he'd be like, right, fuck it, £12 million, that right back mate gets in fucking Europe. That's why I'm thinking, see if Eddie Howe is a man, the main man, right? Whatever Eddie Howe wanted, if it was money, staff, fucking give the guy what he wants and he'll get a success. It was, as we spoke about Rodgers, the club bought onto him, they gave him the £2.5 million wages, they bought St Clair, they bought this, they bought that. Fans came out and bought everything, the 10,000, 13,000, they bought into it. I would paid a lot of money out, but as you say, the money get paid back. We qualify for Europe, we sold players, we got it all back. And for me, it'd be the same with how, but for some reason, it's not happened again.
The start of that, with Rodgers, good. They done, obviously, the hybrid pitch. They started buying Sinclair and they gave him money. But as you say, you need to spend to get money back. And he daddy got us into two Champions Leagues. And Celtic's turnover was 100 million under Rodgers, which has never been seen again. You know what I mean? So I think the guys, I mean, Celt players, he sold Dembele, he sold Tierney under, well, he obviously wanted to replace these guys with the same quality, and the board just wasn't willing to do it. It's baffling. Probably took in about 80 million, 70 million in transfers at Celtic under him, but as you say, it got to the stage, I think he just thought, nah, enough's enough.
Because as we've kind of spoke about a lot, is these project signings, you're paying £3.5 million for Kamara, guys like Bio, Shev, Hendry. As we said, I'd rather you just went and bought. I know, people have been giving me jibs at me about this Tony situation. The only reason I said I didn't want to get Tony was because they were quoting £10 million, and I just didn't think it made business sense personally. A League One strike in England, £10 million.
Did you watch him in the playoff final?
Brilliant, mate. What a player is he? What a player. I'm glad he's maybe put his...
I'm glad. Everything about him was brilliant. He was just a nuisance, a presence. He was everything that we don't have. That's exactly what he was. He had everything that Celtic lacked this year up front. You know what I mean? He was turning players. He was holding the ball and he was bringing others into play. Brilliant, absolutely. His penalty was brilliant. I know, he just stoked it into the corner.
It's frustrating when you see guys like, obviously we've been told stuff, our volume and stuff about McGinn and whatever, and you hear all these stories and you're thinking, why, what makes the board think that you just can't get the player you need? It's frustrating as fans knowing that these guys could be in your team, and who's to say they could have came in field? We all know that, it happens, but the chance of McGinn and fucking Tony failing here, looking back now, it wouldn't have happened. You've seen the guy in the championship. I know people say Ricky Lambert done well in the championship and failed in the hangman. Ricky Lambert was 33, 32 when he went to the Premier League. He wasn't whatever Tony is, 25, 26, whatever. That guy's at his peak now. That guy's just going to get better. Now you're talking about going to Arsenal and West Ham for 30, 40 million. You're thinking, fuck me, man. I understand. I was quite critical when it came to them paying £10 million. Like, it doesn't make sense in my opinion.
I don't think it was 10 million up front, Ryan. I think it was like 5.5 to 6 million. And then yeah,
I was only going by what was quoted for the papers. I'm thinking, right, no, that doesn't justify paying money. But then, see, when you say it was £6 million plus add ons, I went, well, that's what paid for a Yeti, basically.
Yeah,
to be fair, see, on hindsight, looking, I was like, a Yeti play for Champions League. Basel done really well. He done well with Elanusi at Basel. He went to West Ham. I didn't really play too well, but they signed that guy for, obviously, his name is Sebastian Haller, £40 million. He was always going to play in front of him. He came up here, prove himself. He was waiting to take a few weeks to decide. And you're thinking, well, that's not a good start. But see, hindsight now, you're thinking, just get the guy, Tony. Who's to say he would have won the league with him? But as you say, to give us that option. I know they wanted to sell Edward, but why not just keep Edward and buy Tony? Why do you need to sell Edward? Fans are saying, no, we need to sell. No, you don't need to sell anybody. We've scored 19 million pounds before this last update in the bank, and that was about the Frimpong deal with £19 million sitting in the accounts. It was there. People can say it's lies. It's no lies. It was sitting there on the accounts on the Celtic website, plus the the £11 million for Frimpong. So where's all this money that we're not spending? I know there's a pandemic still going on. There's no fans and whatever else, but now they're trying to give you half-priced fucking strips, training gear, chocolate bars. They're going to put out new strips, which, again, people will buy because they know fans love the club, fans love the strips, so buy it. That's why they've got you with the boss. They've got me with the boss because I like your training gear, so I'll buy it. It's just, they've always got you with the boss with something, and that's what's frustrating as well as fans. As you say, Robert, fans will phone in, it'll be the top tier away and all that, but you're thinking, no, because you're still a Saturday and you're bored with your day, you're going, what's there? That's just what we're doing as fans.
But it's, I get why fans are frustrated and things like that, but as you say, I think this season we really need to back them and try and win the league, because if we don't win the league, it could be a sorry 2 or 3 years, the state we could be in after it. And I hope the board understand that, the importance of it, because I think the fans and the board are so far away from each other. It's crazy.
Massive.
They're so far different planets as far as I'm concerned. They just don't seem to understand what the fans want and what is right for the club. They seem to think, oh, we balance the books. The books is brilliant. But nobody's want to go to a fucking park and watch balanced books. They want to go and watch a team on the park. The team on the park's doing well. The books at the park's staying well. It's as simple as that. But they don't see that. They just see it. Figures. That's how they look at it. It's figures. There's too, in my opinion, there's too many Tories on our board now. Too many yuppie cunts that just care about finances and money. There's nobody taking direction of the club and taking it in the right way.
I understand, as we've spoke about the football as a business now, we understand that, but it's still a football club and it's still the fans are the football club. If there's no fans, there's no football club. And you've hit the nail on the head there. If you spend money, especially with Celtic, you will get it back, especially when it comes to Europe. If you get a team on that park that can get into Europe, you're going to get the money back. It's getting harder and harder for us now because, as he says, the qualifiers are, unless we win this league, I'm not saying we're not going to get in again, but it's going to be even harder. If we qualify for this, win the league next year, I'm not saying right after this European stage, but next year, if you win the league, you're getting whatever, 30 million, whatever it is. Players will go, oh, fuck, I might go and play Celtic Park. Hopefully by then, the pandemic's finished. 60,000 with the lights, they get St. Clair and that. That's when players go, fuck, I might go and play with Celtic. Do they really want to play with Celtic when they're finishing the second every year? No.
No. I know. It's Europe and the Glasgow Derby is what people want to watch in it. And, well, go and play in. I suppose that's it. And Europe's a big attraction to get decent players in. And I think the Champions League is where most players want to play in their careers. So you've got to really win the league to give them that chance. I mean, I honestly don't see us getting anywhere near the Champions League this year. I'd be happy with the Europa League group stages, but if we need to sacrifice, as I say, Europe this year to win the league, then I'll happily do it. But we really need to get our arses in gear and get some sort of manager, director of football announced the next 2 or 3 days, because the longer it goes, the more worrying it's becoming.
Every day. It's right, Monday. That's Wednesday now. Friday, you're like, listen, just
refreshing Twitter, refreshing fucking mobile apps with fucking football news. It's, you're just losing patience with it, aren't you? It's like fucking nightmare.
But it's the longer it goes on, the fans are going to get even more frustrated. They're going to get even more abusive in a way. No, me personally, but that's just what some fans are like. They'll get frustrated and they'll hit Twitter, and it's just a pure circus at every emotion, and it's just getting into the fans now because we've lost the league. The manager's been sacked. Kennedy's not done a good job. Again, I'm not really going to blame him too much because he was always going to be the fall guy for the rest of the season. But the board have got to have, as you say, Desmond owes us as fans. The board owes us a bigger point. If this guy turns out brown, if it is a guy from Japan, I'm starting to warm to him a wee bit because people are saying he likes attacking football and that's what we want. I've always said if we score 7 and they score 6, win the game, couldn't give a fuck, we've won the game. But I just don't know. I don't really know much about the guy. I just know that he's obviously a very tight manager. He takes no shit for the press, which should be maybe good up here. Takes no shit for the players. It's either his way or it's no way, which I think we need at the club, Robert, because as we've seen this season, players get too comfortable around certain managers and certain situations, and I think we need to get that out of the club.
Did you see that? I found it very strange before, obviously, the Howe deal had broke down on the other side, that it says that Tom Rogic wasn't going away with Australia.
I said, aye.
Get yourself fit. But no, man. Did he know something that, obviously, did they tell the players that Eddie Howe's not coming, and that's when Rogic went, well, if this is who you're going for, then I'm going to get fit for him. I don't know. I just found it a wee bit strange that Rogic came out and said that he wasn't going away with Australia, he was going to stay and get fit for the new management team coming in, and then and it looks like his ex national manager is going to be obviously their manager. I thought that was a bit strange.
I did pick up on that myself, mate. Which again, because I did say, like, I was kind of happy that he said that. Obviously, if we all thought it was going to be Eddie Howe, because I'm like, good, he's committed. Somebody's committed to the cause. He's given up playing for his country, which is a very, very proud thing for a football player these days. To get yourself fit, and I'm thinking, right, that's maybe he was committed even last season and just finds a new work out. But again, we don't know what the fuck's happening at the club. A day by what people are saying on obviously all these guys from Australia and Japan, and the guys know a yes man, which is obviously what Lennon seemed to be, Dyer seemed to be that. Rogers definitely wasn't a yes man. But we need somebody who's, I think, ruthless and just go, listen, you're not good enough. If you're not doing well in training, you're not playing. And I think that's my one reason why we come to this season, especially at the start of the season before guys like Tumble came in. Brown was getting comfortable in the Cham, McGregor, they were not playing well. I bet you're playing well last 3 or 4 years, we'll keep you. Again, I was kind of, I mean, a bit hypocrite there. For me personally, I was like, no, it'll come good. They'll come good. And then it got to about October time. And me and you and even John, we were saying, hey, guys, we need to change here. We were talking about in October. This wasn't just January and December. We were talking about changing the model in October. We need to change. Lens got to go. We've got to change the model. We've got to get either the Leipzig or the Ajax. We've got to look at different scouting systems. We were talking about that months ahead of other people. And that's us as fans and people who just like football and watch football. So how can the board not see that? How can they not see that, but we can see that? And we're just guys who do a podcast and look at football and we see that as a different angle, but they don't, which is, for me, that's concerning. Guys at that level can't see that, but we can see that.
It was very concerning, but as I say, the board just seems so far from reality. It's unreal. It's like, to me, they just didn't have a plan B. They just thought, let Lennon go and he won as a 10 and then we'll reshuffle it for then. And then when it all went tits up, they just, well, like rabbits in headlights. They just didn't know what to do. They didn't want to sack him. Fans were protesting. Gave him another chance. And you think, there's no way back for him here. You just knew deep down that he wasn't going it. But then they just get rid of Lennon and keep Kennedy and Stratton. You think, I mean, what use is this? This is like, you should have identified a manager then. Go him in, bred him in, and let him just get to the end of the season. They did have judged him. They did have said then. But then the manager would have known what he's working with and what he needs for next season, and you could have hit the ground running. They knew. We're sitting here, no manager, no director of football. 3 months down the line, we're still no further forward. It's just baffling, mate. It's, as I say, it's like something you would think at a junior club, that maybe a turmoil at a junior club where somebody's just fucking made an arse of it, and maybe say a guy who owned it hasn't been putting the money up, and it's just went in turmoil. We're meant to be a well-run club, worldwide renowned club. Peter Lowell always goes on about Celtic as an elite club that wants to be at the dinner table with all the top teams. Well, stop acting amateurish, mate, because we're certainly know that now, the way we're acting as a club and how they're treating the fans and even the players, to the extent, they're just they're not helping them any much. I mean, you don't know what's happening with contract talks, as you say. There's a lot of players down to a year left of their deals, and guys like Griffiths, we don't know what's happening with him. Nobody knows. Are they just going to sell him or what? Are they going to? Nobody knows what's happening. It's just very, very baffling.
It's very frustrating, mate. It's obviously, like you say, Lennon, can I get chance after chance after chance? As soon as Dyla had one massive result against Rangers that didn't happen, he was banned. Yeah. So, and for me, I do agree. I've kind of says, looking back now, Dyla done an okay job for what he had. He didn't get massive amount of money to spend, but again, they signed a lot of shite. But again, I generally don't believe they were high signings. Not a chance was Carlton Cole signing Kazim Richards. That's just my opinion. They didn't suit his style of play. He was managing, was it Norway, wasn't it? So how's he meant to know who the fuck Carlton Cole is when he's just been released by West Ham or something? You know I mean, he doesn't know who Carlton Cole is. He's managing fucking Norway. He brought in Johansson. I know he kind of faltered these last year, but Johansson for me, his first season was fucking top notch. He was brilliant. Yep.
Lennon brought him in, Ryan.
Aye, it was his first season was superb.
Midfielder.
Yeah.
He changed back midfielder because he was a defensive under Lennon.
I see that the amount of players you brought in, I keep forgetting who the fuck put them in now. Getting to that stage now, I'm like, but I think Dyer, obviously, we all knew after that game he was gone. We knew that because the board wouldn't have had that. That's when I think the board were maybe at their best, right? No. When they get somebody bigger in. But as you see, Lennon get chance after chance after chance. And we all know he was there because he was getting paid with Celtic. He wouldn't leave. I wouldn't leave a 15, 20 grand, whatever it is, job a week to go on the dole. I wouldn't do it. So, but as you say, mate, it's just a whirlwind of car crashes every single day. There's wee things popping up here and there.
I love Dermot Desmond, this whole saga.
The biggest guy at the club and he's no come out and said anything.
Exactly. Or he turns around and says he's no selling his shares. That's what I've read about him. I'm no selling my shares. Well, do something about it then. If you're no selling your shares, do something about the club. Bring the club back. Do what needs done to get what we need to get back on track. And it's just silent.
Because that's what's frustrating. I know all that money is no sales, but as we've said, he's a multi-million billionaire. And again, obviously we don't know the full ins and outs of finances, but to us as fans, we're not seeing money like his getting inputted. See, as you say, Lowell wants us to be the cream of the cream, right? The top of the top table, Champions League. Why can you not spend £20 million plus? Buy 3 or 4 superstars, £20 million, because if you win the league and they, as you say, you'll get that back. You'll get it back.
That's the thing that nobody spoke about. Peter Lowell got paid between 2.5 million and 3.5 million for that disastrous season. And not one came in turning and says, no, I've not achieved my goals this season. I'm not taking some of my wages. Not once has he come in and said that.
No.
He's took his wages and ran. That's what he's doing. Because he's retiring, which is a disgrace. He's the second highest paid CEO in British football behind Ed Woodward at Man United. That is, to me, is just baffling.
As he's supposed to be a Celtic man, right? See, they're taking your 3.5 million. Take a million. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Put some of it back.
It's fucking.
He's probably made about 30 million out of Celtic, 45 million or whatever it may be.
He'll be minted off us, considering obviously we've been qualifying for Europe 2 or 3 times and been minted again. We'll just need to see what happens in the next kind of few days and hopefully something comes up. With again, the manager situation never comes in, I'll back him, but I'm kind of deflated about all now. I just want somebody to come in and just get his gun again because, as I've said, the qualifiers are soon, pre season, 2 or 3 weeks. You've need to get a scout, you've even got a sports sign, you've got nothing, which is, and it is very, very concerning. Even if you did get a manager, this guy comes in, right, just say he gets announced tomorrow, he's got to quality for 10 days.
I know. And they're saying he's going to get his pro-breed license or something for Europe or something, and I'm going, oh no, that's just, He can't. It's like a comedy sketch, isn't it?
And I understand Gerrard didn't have it either, but he was doing it on the job. He had the, I think he says, I'll do it while I'm on the job, which is fine, but they knew about that. Celtic probably didn't know that, and I've just found it out now. That's the type of work that we've been used to the last year, and that's what we've done. It's just, as I says, mate, I don't know what your thoughts on obviously this guy is before we move on a wee bit about the Euros chat with Scotland, but I just, whoever it is comes in, I'll back him, but it's just going to be a few weeks.
He won Brisbane Roar, he won two leagues with him. He won the Asia Cup with Australia. The Australian players bought into it, said he was brilliant. He went toe-to-toe with Chile, the Netherlands, and Germany, I think, in a group, and he was unlucky in the 2014 World Cup. The Australian fans loved him, but he didn't feel he got the backing for the Australian FA. He's won titles in Japan, so I think he'll have a good bit of knowledge outside European football, that side, that he could maybe unearth a few gems to come to Celtic, whether they're both back at. May he be the manager, I do not know. But he might be an absolute car crash, or he might be an absolute overnight success. We don't know. Whether he comes in, we'll just need to see what the time, what happens. But I did read one of the journalists saying that the Celtic fans would take to him because he likes to play an attacking, aggressive football. And that's the way he likes to play. And for me, I think that's what we were lacked this season. We just never had words for anything. We just seemed to be going through the middle and getting out-crowded out with a lot of teams, average teams. And I think we really need to be of a calibre like that, aggressive, attacking football, kind of what we got under Rodgers the first season and a half. And I think we've not had that since then. And it'd be refreshing to see all the plans with players he gets to bring in as well. That's the thing I know, and we don't know what's happening with that. It probably depends on who leaves us as well, money-wise, what we're going to get spending.
I don't know. It's going to be a whirlwind, isn't it? So I know, as you said, attacking football, I think it's like 4-3-3, 4, whatever. I think he's very, very attacking when it comes to his formation. I think I've seen that the other day. Again, if that is a football we need to play, but that's what I say to my old man there, I know. Whoever comes in, they're not going to have time. It's going to be 24-7, it's going to be signing, it's going to be scouting, it's going to be, because as we said with Lennon, it got December, and the fans are like, no, it was October, you need to get out. If it gets to October and we are maybe 3 or 4 points behind Rangers, not doing very well in Europe and or whatever, the fans are going to be on their back, listen, get out before this gets even worse. And we don't want that to happen, because a guy could be a fucking brilliant guy and he comes here and his reputation gets in tatters because of a 2 or 3 month bad spell.
A board.
Yep.
You're hoping that Fergal Harkins maybe looking at players and getting things in motion and out for whoever may be coming on. I don't know. If he's going to be even the director of football, I don't even fucking know. It's all rumours at the end, isn't it?
We know nothing, mate. But obviously, a bit of positivity. Obviously, the Euros, I think two weeks or so, the day of the first game. Obviously, I'm going to do it myself for the game London, so I'm looking forward to it. But it's just a bit surreal that I'm a big fan of Scotland, so it's a bit surreal that we're actually in a major tournament in my generation, because I didn't think I would see it. So for us to be there and see it, that is really kind of positive for the country, considering what we've been through the last year or so. And it's a bit of light maybe in the tunnel. This is happening, the summer's here, and it's just something to look forward to.
I'm going to say one thing. Lockdown's been brilliant for Scottish sports. We beat England in the rugby at Twickenham for the first time in 35-40 years. We've done actually well in the Six Nations. We've qualified for a tournament for the first time since 1998. I think no boozing and quarantining and stuff, and obviously lockdowns helped Scottish sportsmen. So, all joking aside, mate, really good. I just hope we don't get there and get slaughtered. I think we've got a decent enough wee squad to go with. We've got a couple of boys that play in English Premier League that will probably be good stead for us. Young Billy Gilmore won the Champions League at 19. I think at 19 I was fucking in my mate's room with a CD listening to fucking Scooter or something about a Mad Dog, but fair play at 19, that boy's waking up with a Champions League medal. It's fair play to him, isn't
it? Sitting in my bottle of beer shouting hardcore.
There's a lot of good positives. McTominay played in the Europa League final. McGinn had a cracking season. Andy Robertson had a no bad season. You've got Kieran Tierney had a good season, bar a few injuries. So I think you've got players in there that could be good for Scotland, that will be a good stead for us. Obviously, young Billy Gilmore might get in. I don't know where he'll play or no, but obviously, it's good experience for him. Turnbull's there. Forrest is back for injury. A few Celtic players, five or six Celtic players are getting took on. It'll be good to just sit and watch it, to watch us come to a major European tournament, I suppose, isn't it? I think you fancy yourself, I think the Czech Republic at home is the first game.
Aye.
I think you should fancy yourselves. I'm not saying there are any mugs, but Scotland at home, it's giving you a chance, isn't it, to get 3 points.
Obviously, the two big names are England and Croatia, but I generally think that England gave him a close game, mate, especially with Steve Clarke's tactics. He's not going to get in the way. I know Harry Kane's, listen, he's one of the best strikers in the world, so it's going to be hard to play against him, but like you did against Serbia, you get his tactics right and everything else. If the players seem to be buying into what he's doing, so it's a one-half game, as you say, Robert, anything can happen. You could get a penalty, you could get a lucky
goal. Don't play well against England, Scotland. We never seem to get trounced.
So, was I saying that? See, the game, obviously, the Griffiths 2 goals, they're a very, very good team on that park that day. Yeah. They need some.
They won at Wembley, they beat Scotland, I think, 3-2. And end up, Kenny Moore. Scotland were good that night. You've just got to believe in yourself, I suppose, and be 100% concentrated in it. It's the switching off at Scotland seem to do quite badly. The switch off at the key moments.
I definitely think as well that the boy Adams has got to give a big boost, because he played against all these guys as well. So he's at that level. He's a fucking powerhouse of guy, man. I've only seen him bits and bobs down south, but then I know, was it Auster? I was like, my dad, he's a powerhouse. He's quick, he's strong, pods the ball and likes to play. I'm like, he would do well for us. And Europe, obviously.
Right. Good at the hold ups and that as well.
I was kind of saying it in a Celtic way. I was like, he would do well. He looks the type of, obviously, we can't afford him, but that's the mode I think we need to hold it up later off and be quick at the same time and be able to get into the box, because even the guys like Edouard, we don't seem to have guys who burst, obviously Griffiths when he was fully fit and whatever else, but guys who burst a box to score goals, just live on scoring goals, and he seems the sort of guy that's going to be in the box all the time and give guys like John Stones and Fitzharry Maguire a hard, hard time. As you said, we've got Winger, Forrest, and attacking with Tumbo, Gilmore if he plays. You've got a lot of the midfield decent, striking's okay, but the worry is off the centre backs. You've not really got decent centre backs, is it McKenna?
Well, he played with Leeds, and I think they finished about 10th in him.
That's true, man.
Well, I've not seen much of the boy, I can't judge him, but he must be decent because he's Leeds captain. Mm-hmm. He must be a decent enough player. So. And he's not been playing him, but has he? That's the thing. He's been playing the boy, big boy Declan Gallagher. And to be fair, the big boy hasn't done anything wrong. So,
see, that's what I'm saying. For me, anyway, will Steve Clarke go be tried and trusted the first game? Who won maybe the qualifier and go with O'Donnell and your Gallagher, or will he change it about and just go, no, I need to play the best team, or will he put that aside and go, no, I might play guys who deserve a chance to play? As it must be a headache for him as well to say who do I play, because as you say, there's a lot of good players, especially in midfield. I generally think we have got a good squad. It's just for me, the worry is the defence. That's, I know you've got Tierney and Robertson, and but the right back situation again, you've only got a proper. I know you've got Patterson, but the boy's only played 5 games. So O'Donnell, that's the only bit for me. It's the stumble box with the centre-backs and the right-back, because you don't know if he's going to play tail-end centre-back and play it off some left-back. Because for me, I'd rather play Tierney left back and put Robertson further forward. Tierney's a better defender than Robertson.
I would say it's my own opinion. But
I don't know.
It's typical Scotland, isn't it? Having two brilliant left backs and no much right backs or no much centre halves. It's fucking typical.
I will be a wee bit merry about it closer towards it, but I do think it'll be good, mate. Just as you say, see a country playing a major tournament. We're not really used to it, so especially maybe me and you in ages where you've not seen too much of it, so that is good to see.
Aye. I remember '98, I think I was 11, 12, and we played Brazil, and the school took us to the pictures at Parkhead Ford, and there was like 10, 5 or 10 schools, and we all watched it in the pictures, and the board at Parkhead. Brilliant, they'd done like a wee half-time raffle and all that, you could win stuff, and all that, it was brilliant.
All changed days new, and it's all about money new, isn't it? It's all money new, man.
As you say, you watch all these tournaments and we're never in them. You're like, well, maybe we'll never get to see it. So we're there now. The pressure's off. I'm just going to try and enjoy ourselves and hopefully pick up a couple of results, innit?
Definitely, mate. As I say, mate, we'll go to Scotland again in a few weeks' time and it starts. But again, obviously, Celtic, just hopefully in the misery and get a manager this week, because as we've said, Robert, it's going to be a whirlwind a few weeks trying to get this sorted, because it's the board have put ourselves in a fucking hard place.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Just on our last one, did you watch the Champions League final?
Aye.
What did you think of Man City no playing and a striker?
Mate, I've no expertise to tell Guardiola about today, but he fucked up his team.
Aguero and Jesus on the bench, man. He's playing with a false number 9.
False number 9, and then he play a holding midfielder.
Aye, and then he put Gundogan, who was more attack midfielder, and scoring a lot of goals. He put him down there, and then Sterling, he hadn't been playing. They brought him in, and I thought that's weird tactics. And I thought they got everything they deserved. I thought Chelsea's spot on tactics against him. But look at the one big Diaz across the box. There's one striker. And it goes right across about 5 yards out, and you're thinking, that's what happens when you've not got a striker on the park.
If that's Aguero, it's a goal.
Oh, bang, that's a goal. Aye, they bring him on too late, you know what I mean? But it was just that was what it was, mate. It was a point on that I thought he was a bit arrogant. Guardiola, I'm not saying Guardiola's not a good manager, but going into a Champions League final and playing a false nine with a number 9, it's like fucking inner Steve Clark, inner Craig Levine.
That's what I'm saying. If Pep Guardiola can do it, then Neil Lennon can do it. So it's all right if Guardiola does it, you know what I mean? But as I say, mate, I appreciate your time again, and hopefully we'll have somebody in place soon, because we need a bit of cheering up. But again, thanks again, Robert, and I'll catch you again. Mate. Cheers.
Thanks. See you later, then. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To fly sometimes.